And this is their torture chamber.
They call it Times Square.
Just like in prison. Chard, have you ever been outside?
Sure. I was out last spring for good behavior. No. It was the spring before that. Mostly I work in the mills and coal mine.
Coal mine?
Chard stomped the floor.
We're on top of it. Goes down deep. Straight to hell, some say. I don't know about such things, but I can swing a pick with the best of them.
I can tell you're a powerful man.
Christie offered a sweet smile. It was clear that Ryan wanted some information from the wreck, and flattery was the only way to bribe Chard at present.
Chard, you want to escape?
Don't!
Chard thrust a hand out between the bars of his cell, as if trying to reach Ryan and close his mouth by force.
Don't never say that word again. They give you to the fat man and his dogs.
But...
Never say that word!
It's what we're going to do, with or without your help.
Shaking his head, Chard placed both hands over his ears.
If you want to come along, then talk to us. Describe the outside.
Better yet, we'll tell you. There's a big courtyard in front, and the whole place is surrounded by high stone walls, topped with spikes.
To keep the muties out.
And everybody else in.
Beyond which is...
Farms.
Chard looked about nervously, scratched his beard, and spoke fast.
And our town. After that, it's rad pits and muties. Forever and ever, all the way to the boiling sea.
The town is called what? Detail?
Chard stared.
How'd you know?
Doc understood at last.
By Godfrey, this is a prison, or perhaps a federal penitentiary. Fascinating. I had never before considered the fact that a prison, designed to keep people in, was by necessity well-designed to also keep people out. High stone walls lined with guard towers, one single massive armored door, facilities for hundreds, maybe thousands of prisoners, hospital, library, machine shops, kitchens, morgue. Yes, a prison makes a natural fort.
Mildred frowned.
After Skydark, the warden proclaimed himself ruler and used the prisoners as slave labor to make the place self-sufficient.
And the town is called Detail, like in a work detail.
No help there. Not out of a whole city bred from folks who keep their heads low and always obey orders.
Sheep.
The carrot to the stick of the twisters.
Chard shrugged and said nothing. Unexpectedly, brilliant lights crashed upon them from the ceiling.
Electric lights!
Wait.
Mildred tilted her head. The last in line, she leaned toward the closed door.
I hear footsteps, a lot of them, coming our way.
Stay loose, people. Christie, sense them out and give me clues to follow. I'll do the talking.
Chard wore a broken smile.
Oh, now, don't you folks worry none. They're not coming to lessen you none. Not on your first day.
So, we're okay?
Dean furrowed his brow. Chard's smile faded.
No, lad. You're not, and be sure about it, but nothing will happen to you today is all. Nothing to your body, that is. But we're in for a show.
What kind of a show?
Chard retreated into his cell.
Like nothing this side of hell. And you gotta watch or else they'll make you.
Make us how? Whip us?
Don't ask. You don't want to know.
The marching became audible, then stopped. The stout door was loudly unlocked, and a group of people entered the room. One man was naked except for an array of chains. He could barely shuffle under the tremendous load. Surrounding the prisoner were a dozen men in flowing white robes, and one obscenely fat, bald man, wearing only a loincloth and biker boots. A pack of dogs milled about him, barking and snarling at the prisoner, but never leaving their master's side. The chained man was dragged to the center of the room, and hauled into the air above the drain.
Baldy is a eunuch.
Mildred contorted her features.
That bad?
Doc gritted his teeth.
Torquemada specialized in using them, mostly because they have a special perverse pleasure in torturing normal men.
His hairless head shining under the bright lights, the eunuch waddled over to Ryan and smiled.
Welcome to Novaville. I am Eugene. This is your first lesson in obedience. Watch everything that happens, but don't look away. Vomit if you wish, scream whenever you like, but you will and must watch. It has been ordered so.
The fat man drew a small curved blade from inside his clothing.
If necessary, I'll remove your eyelids, but all must watch.
Ryan forced a smile.
No problem. Maybe we like to see a good show.
The eunuch seemed taken aback. He stared openly at the one-eyed warrior, worked his mouth a few times, then waddled away, casting suspicious glances at Ryan over his pudgy shoulder. Eugene spread his fat arms dramatically wide as an assistant opened a box of surgical instruments.
Students, pay close attention and watch what I do and why.
The slavering dogs were chained before the terrified prisoner, as portable braziers full of hot coals were fanned to flaming life.
I'm only a thief! I already gave back the food! There's nothing more I can tell you!
Eugene smiled as a white-hot iron was pressed to the prisoner's side, and he piteously screamed. Forcing himself not to turn away, Ryan knew the captive wouldn't be feeling that pain yet. The pain was so intense with burning like that, a person's nerves simply shut down for a while, unable to handle the overload. But when the flesh cooled, then agony would come. However, Ryan doubted the prisoner would still be alive then. And if he was, the minor pain of a branding wouldn't be noticed.
Nothing can save you, thief.
Eugene smirked, pulling shiny steel pliers into view and snapping them in the air.
Because we don't want you. You don't have anything we need. You're merely an object here, a thing for the students to practice on. A demonstration to show the valuable inmates what will happen to them if they decide not to talk.
Laboring for breath, the prisoner somehow managed to spit at his obese tormentor. The eunuch laughed shrilly and wiped his face clean with a forearm.
Excellent! You still resist.
He leaned in close.
I might just enjoy this. They usually die so fast, I'm having the time for a little fun.
Christie glanced at Ryan and softly rattled her chains. Ryan sadly shook his head. He knew she could summon more than enough strength to break free of even these iron bonds. But afterwards, she'd pass out from the effort. This wasn't the time or the place for them to risk fighting to escape. The poor bastard was on his own.
Let us begin.
The fat man kissed a scalpel. The crowd of students closed around the hanging man, and the screaming started in earnest. The bloated leech sat just below her eye, its body pulsating slightly as it sucked the blood out from underneath her skin. Judging the swelling and bruising were reduced sufficiently, Amanda ever so gently plucked the worm from her cheek and dropped it to the floor. Standing, she deliberately crushed the leech, her left shoe leaving a red print for a few steps, as she crossed the room to embrace her brother.
You did well, my sister.
The deputy ward ran a hand softly along the golden waves of her hair. Richard gathered a fistful and inhaled the perfume.
Oh, yes. Very well indeed. The beast and the sons, both gone.
The man couldn't take his sight off her. In a white dress and with flowers in her hair, she seemed an angel.
From heaven.
There are no more obstacles. The wheel is ours to loot, beloved.
He held out his arms, and they kissed, bodies pressed tightly together, loins aching for what couldn't be.
Was it terrible? Did they assault you, beat you, strip you naked, and use you as a common gaudy girl?
Yes, oh yes, the sons of the knife did, four of them at the same time.
Oh, how I wish I could have seen.
You will, dear brother. You will.
And the prisoners downstairs in the school?
Unexpectedly, Amanda broke away from him, crossing her arms over her chest.
No, they did not.
Impossible.
Fact. I practically threw myself into the arms of their leader and then his young son.
Well, perhaps they can't.